Thank you, Colleen. That was beautiful. Good morning and welcome to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith, on this second Sunday of Advent. We will begin with some announcements. Please sign in on the red pew pads that are in front of you there in the pew. And remember to leave the slip in the folder. And we have our December birthdays, so please wish those folks a happy birthday. And I understand it's actually Ron Park's birthday today, so All right. Shall we sing happy birthday to Ron? And the December newsletter is available in the narthex as you leave. And if you can get this by email and you're not currently doing that, please let the office know so that they can send that to you. And our next free Saturday movie will be January 6th at 11 a.m. in Faith Theater 2. It is called Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris. And next is the December Pastor's Luncheon will be on December 17th. No, let me put my glasses on. Hold on a second. Yeah, I see it. Hold on. There we go. Okay. The Pastor's Lunch will be on December 13th at noon at Legend 8, China in Kalamasa. And we have a special lunch price this month of $10. So please let the office know you're coming, or there's also going to be a sign-up sheet in the fellowship hall.
It's this Wednesday. Make sure that you sign up so that I may know how many are going to come.
Okay, and then we are the cereal church, so please, if you can, donate a few boxes of cereal, canned goods, or other food items at any time to help, and we will be taking them at the end of the month to the ICSC so they can be distributed to families in need. And Stephen Mickle is still looking for gently used adult clothing for the inmates that he serves. So please donate those as you can. And we will be doing caroling. Waiting for the next slide. We'll be doing caroling for shut-ins and anyone needing Christmas cheer. And that will take place on December 17th. So please join us if you can. We will be departing from the fellowship hall at 2 p.m. And let the office know if you can come with us and sing. It's a lot of fun and it's very rewarding. And if you know a shut-in or someone else that would like to have somebody come and sing to them, please let us know. And the poinsettia order forms are available. If you'd like to purchase a poinsettia for the sanctuary for Christmas, they're at the table on the right as you leave the sanctuary. You can fill that out and make sure that when you fill out your check, make sure you label it donations for poinsettias. And the cost for each poinsettia is $12. The Hearts Grow program, the second and fourth Sunday, so that would be today. Children can come before the sermon and stay until the end of fellowship time. And, of course, parents are welcomed. This is a Christian growth and worship experience for all ages using the arts to connect us to the Creator. And it is held in the Christian Children's Church Room. And lastly, Christmas gifts. The SPRC committee will be collecting for the staff Christmas gifts until December 11th. So you can place your donation in the offering plate or send it to the office, and just make sure that you mark the envelope with staff gift so that we know that that's where it should be applied. Are there any other announcements? No? Okay, so we will now have the lighting of the second Advent candle.
Hello, everybody. How are you doing today?
Good.
Do a microphone?
You can talk in here so that people on Zoom can hear.
Forgot about that.
Right here, in front of the microphone.
Okay.
Yes.
So I had to go so low because my water rose so high in the bathroom. And so my family regrets not coming. So Ann couldn't do Hearts Grow because she's trying to get the water to flow. So but we got somebody on that. So oh, sorry about that. Here we go. Okay, so we'll get started. Advent season reminds us of God's love. God so loved the world despite its sinfulness. God loved us first before we knew and loved him. By sending his only begotten Son, God reconciled us back to him. Now whosoever believes in him does not perish but has eternal life. So today we light the candle of love, which reminds us that Jesus loves us unconditionally and calls us to follow his example by loving one another. First John says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for all our sins. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the embodiment of your love. Help us be messengers of your love by our words and deeds, so that people may find the love of Jesus through us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Now, if you all rise as you're able and join me in the call to worship. Come, O Emmanuel, be present with us and in our world.
Come, O Son of God, save us from sin and its penalty.
Come, O Son of the Most High, show us the glory of your kingdom.
Come, O incarnate Word, lead us into the life of truth and freedom.
Our opening hymn is number 234, O Come, All Ye Faithful.
Come, let us adore him.
Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exultation. Oh, sing all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, all glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord.
It is now time for the passing of the peace.
Peace be with you. Good job, good job. Yes. No, not at all. All righty. Let us welcome all those who have come to join us via Zoom. Hello, Helen. So good to see you. Hello, June. So good to see you. And we have Mary, Alicia, David, and Dee with us on Zoom. Welcome.
It's now time for the sharing of joys and concerns. If you have something to share, Deb will give you the mic.
Good morning, everybody. Today's my birthday. I'm sitting right next to my favorite gift ever, right here. I want to give an update about what's going on with Lorene, and we want to thank everybody that's been praying for her. Don't stop now. She's had multiple blood tests, chest x-rays, and last Sunday afternoon, she had a brain scan. Fortunately, they said that they could detect anything abnormal in her brain. The big test is going to be this Thursday, so keep praying. We got to go to UCLA, and she has to go through quite an ordeal there. It's an all-dayer. But that's going to determine what's going to happen with the right eye. So just keep us in your prayers, and you're all doing a wonderful job. Thank you.
I also want to thank everybody, because this has been very scary. This year has not been the best year for me. As most of you know, Mother's Day, I had what they thought was a heart attack, and they later discovered I have an extremely rare thing with my heart. My main coronary artery has protruded through my heart and wrapped its way around it. Wow. And the doctors said that they learned this in medical school, but they tell them, don't worry, you'll never, ever, ever, ever see a case. Well, here I am. Yeah. So I've struggled with that. And then this is my second bout with the tumor in my eye. And I would lie if I said I'm not scared. But I'm not, because I know my Heavenly Father has me in the palm of His hand. And no matter what the decision is, I know that it's God's will, and I'm going to put one foot in front of the other. And I always tell Ron, I'm like that little punching clown when you were a kid. Go ahead, hit me. I'm going to get right back up. You ain't going to knock me down. But just continue the prayers, because I definitely need them.
Absolutely. We will.
Oh, hello. There's a guy I see about every week for quite a while. His name is Larry, and he's in jail. And he just wanted my church to pray for him. So, yeah, pray for Larry. Thank you.
Thanks. Good morning. We're the Barr family. We drive past your church frequently, and it's so beautiful on the outside that we wanted to see the inside. And I'm glad we came during Christmas season. It's beautiful. So thank you for letting us be here.
And introduce your daughter.
Got it. So I'm Michael Barr, and Abigail and Elizabeth. You want to just look at the camera? There's Zoom somewhere. Hey, there we go.
Welcome.
Thanks, Mike. Nice to meet you girls. All right, anyone on Zoom that has prayer requests, please raise your hand and unmute. June, unmute and go ahead. You got to unmute first. Click on your microphone button.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Unfortunately, Joyce could not join me this morning because I still have a big red sign on my door saying I'm getting over COVID, so... appreciate your prayers that maybe I'll have a quarantine by Tuesday or Wednesday.
Deb, would you share that one more time?
June says that she's still getting over COVID, so her neighbor Joyce couldn't join her on Zoom this morning. But please pray for everybody that's in there in the nursing home that has COVID and that she gets over it quickly. Anyone else on Zoom?
Okay, please join me now in the unison prayer. Here we go. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Let us continue our prayers in silence, remembering the prayer request that we have just heard, remembering our loved ones, all those people that God has placed in our life circle, and for all those people in need of God's healing touch in the world today. Lord, we just confess the affirmation of our faith. We believe that you are our creator. You created this whole universe by your word. You sent your Son, Jesus Christ, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Lord, you do amazing things. You walk miracles. Human wisdom and understanding cannot comprehend the scope of your operation in this world. You may be invisible, but you are present in our lives, and you are deeply involved in our life's affair. You can transform the impossible situations. You can reach the areas where humans cannot reach. And you manifest your love when there is darkness, hopelessness. We acknowledge once more that you are our living God. And, oh Lord, we need you today. We need the changes, transformation of our life circumstances in our individual lives and in this world today. We need you more than ever. So, Lord, we invite you and your Holy Spirit to come into our hearts and into this world so that we may see you by your work, by the miracle that you perform, by many other manifestations of your power and of your presence in our lives today. So we come to you as we feel many needs in our lives. We see the needs in the life of our loved ones, and we see the needs, desperate needs in this world. Come unto us, O Lord. Manifest your presence through your peace. This world seems to be broken into many different pieces, and we need to come together and be reconciled and be united and embrace one another as the with the love of Christ, so that the whole world may know you are love. You are our King, O Lord. You rule over our lives. Your will takes precedence over our will. Your plan is accomplished, not our plan. So as we stand before your presence, worshiping you, we yield ourselves, our plan, our will, once more into your hand. We are yours, O Lord. Use us to fulfill your will in this world today. So now, as the community of faith, we join the prayer that you taught us to pray, praying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
We will now have our Young at Hearts moment.
Today's story is Home by Another Way, a Christmas story, written by Barbara Brown Taylor, illustrated by Melanie Cataldo. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage. Once upon a time, there were three very wise men who were all sitting in their own countries, minding their own business, when a bright star lodged in the right eye of each one of them. The star was so bright that none of them could tell whether it was burning in the sky or in their own imaginations, but they were wise enough to know that it didn't matter all that much. The point was, something beyond them was calling them, and it was a tug they had been waiting for all their lives. Each in his own country had tried books, tried magic, tried astrology. One had lived on nothing but dried herbs boiled in water. Another had spent his entire fortune learning how to read and write in an ancient language. The third had learned to walk on hot coals, though it did nothing for him beyond the great sense of relief he felt at the end. Despite their best efforts, all three of them still felt that something was missing. They were all glad for a reason to get out of town, which was very clearly where the star was calling them, out away from everything they knew how to manage and survive, out under the reputations they had built for themselves, the high expectations and the disappointing returns. And so they set out one by one, each believing that he was the only one with a star in his eye, until they all ran into one another on the road to Jerusalem. From a distance, each thought the other to be a mirage at first, a twinkling reflection made of vapor and heat. But as they drew near to one another, they saw the star they had in common, like a tattoo or a secret handshake, something that made them brothers before they spoke. They all believed that the star was leading them to Jerusalem. This made perfect sense, because they had every reason to believe they were on their way to meet a king. They had no trouble gaining entrance to the palace. They looked rich, and that was enough to get them a royal audience. But the king they met was something of a disappointment. He was lumpy and rumpled, and he had terrible breath. His skin looked a funny orange color and sickly, as if his bile had gotten the best of him. The guards on either side of him shook in fear of their king, so much that their spears rattled against their shields. Without even comparing notes, the wise men knew that he was not the person they were looking for. "Do you know of any other kings in the general area?" they asked him. He had been picking at his fingernails until then, letting them know how bored he was, but their question got his attention. He looked right at them for the first time. That was when he saw the star in each of their eyes. His own eyes grew perfectly round, like the eyes of a snake. The king asked the wise men if they would please excuse him for a moment. Then he stepped into his private chapel to confer with his clergy. They whipped out their old reference books, which smelled of mold, and told the king what he wanted to know. "Yes," they said, "there was something in the book of Micah about a new ruler for Israel, but nothing to get excited about. It was short. It had been there for a long time. It was unlikely that the men in the other room were fulfilling that prophecy. But sure, why not? Send the wise men to Bethlehem to check it out, to save the king a little money instead of doing his own research." So that was what the king did. He gargled, combed his hair, and went back to tell the wise men that they should go to Bethlehem at once with his blessing, on one condition: that they come back and tell him who his successor was so that he could send flowers to the new king. His breath smelled like pine sol when he said it, which made the wise men feel queasy. They knew something was not right. But once they were back out in the night air, they could see the star in the sky again, and it set their minds at rest. They followed it right to the doorway of a one-room house in Bethlehem. It was a perfectly nice place, modest but well-built, though not the kind of place where they had expected to find a king. A dog was sniffing the woodpile under the eaves in hope of a mouse. Someone was practicing the lute next door, going over the same notes again and again. The smell of dinner was still in the air: wheat cakes cooked on a griddle greased with sheep's fat, lentils with lots of garlic, and rice. The place looked so simple they might have never chosen it themselves, but since the star had chosen it for them, they knocked. When the door opened, the couple standing behind it almost died of fright. Not that the wise men noticed. With their arms full of gifts, they crowded into the small space, bumping their turbans on the rafters and snagging their robes on the rough furniture. All they could see was the baby, who was not afraid and whose right eye shone with the same star they had seen before they ever left home. It was him, then, whoever he was. They did not have a clue, but they knew what to do. They got on their knees and bowed their heads. Then they gave him the things they had brought for him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, all the wrong things they could see now, things he had no use for. They should have brought him goat's milk, a warm blanket, and something shiny to hang above his crib. But how could they have guessed? The child's parents were gracious. They thanked the strangers for their expensive gifts and held them up for the baby to see. Then, to the wise men's complete surprise, the child's mother picked him up and handed him around so that each of them held that damp, soft, living weight in his arms. When they were finished admiring him, she took her baby back, nursed him, and put him to bed. Then, before the light coming in through the window of the house had entirely gone out, the three wise men fell asleep right where they sat. In the morning, when they woke, the wise men could not find their stars anywhere. They searched each other's eyes, but the stars were gone. Frantically, they looked in all corners and under the chairs. The baby's mother even shook out his blankets, but still, no stars. Soon the wise men calmed down and said, "Never mind, we don't need them anymore." They had found what they were looking for, something they could not lose. And as much as they hated to, they added, they had better be on their way. They would not be going back through Jerusalem, they said. All three of them had woken from the same identical dream, warning them to steer clear of the city. If anyone in Jerusalem knew anything at all, they would be here instead of there. Besides, none of the wise men's old maps worked anymore. They would have to find a new way home. So the wise men picked up their packs, which were lighter than before. Then they lined up in front of the baby to thank them for the gifts that he had given them. "What in the world are you talking about?" the baby's mother said, laughing. "For the scent and weight and skin of a baby," said the first wise man, who had no interest in living on herbs anymore. "For this home and the love here," said the second wise man, who could not remember how to say it in the ancient language. "For a really great story," said the third wise man, who thought that telling it might do a lot more for him than walking on hot coals. Then the wise men walked outside, stretched, kissed the baby goodbye, and went home by another way. The end. May we be grateful for the gift of the baby. May we always listen for God's words to us. Amen.
Our next hymn is number 249, "There's a Song in the Air."
There's a song in the air, there's a star in the sky, there's a mother's deep prayer and a baby's low cry. And the star rains its fire while the beautiful sing. For the manger of Bethlehem cradles a king. There's a tumult of joy of the wonderful birth, for the virgin sweet boy is the Lord of the earth. For the star rains its fire while the beautiful sing, for the manger of Bethlehem cradles a king. In the light of that star lie the ages in pearl, and the song from afar has swept over the world. every heart is the flame and the beautiful sing. In the homes of the nations that Jesus is King.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. The visit of the Magi. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star in the east and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen in the east, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. It is a beautiful morning, isn't it? I welcome all of you to this beautiful place of worship. And especially, I am so excited to see younger generations. So happy to have you here. And I extend warm welcomes to each and every one of you worshiping with us here in this beautifully decorated sanctuary. I mean, our sanctuary is beautiful even without the decoration, but even more beautiful with it. And also all those of you who have come to join us via Zoom, I welcome you all. A young man watched an old American Indian at a state fair. The Indian was charging $5 a time for a special challenge. If he couldn't tell where you're from just by looking at you, he'd pay you $50. The young man saw a cowboy try his luck first. The Indian looked him up and down, noticed some cow dung on his boots, and declared, "You're from Wyoming." "Gee, that's right," said the cowboy. The young man then looked on as another cowboy took a turn. The Indian looked him up and down, spotted a straw and cow dung on his boots, and said, "You're from Montana." "Gee, that's right," said the second cowboy. The young man decided that he wanted to have a go, but thought of a way of confusing the Indian. Having observed that the Indian placed great store on boots, the young man polished his own boots until they were spotless and therefore offered no clues. He went into the Indian's boots. The Indian looked him up and down and said, "You're from Arkansas." "Gee, that's amazing. How could you tell?" "Your jeans are on back to front." I don't know, do they wear pants like that in Arkansas? Signs convey messages or informations. After serving parishes over 4 decades, I have learned how to read signs in churches, believe it or not. Signs of decline and growth. This church had a lot of signs of rapid decline some years ago. Now we have many signs of revitalizations. Parents are good at reading signs from children. Children may not tell their parents, but parents can tell if anything has happened to them by discerning signs. The wise men appear to be experts in reading signs, especially signs on stars. Let's look at historical background of how they became experts and why they were called wise men from the East. Mesopotamia is regarded as the cradle of civilization. There are many reasons for this. The world's first writing was developed, and along with it, the first recorded history in Mesopotamia. The first cities were built, and the oldest administrative and political system were established. The people were advanced in astronomical and mathematical knowledge, medicine, libraries, laws, and so on. The powerful empires rose and fell around Mesopotamia, and the Old Testament identifies some of those empires, such as Assyria, Babylonia, and Persia. According to livescience.com, the Babylonians developed trigonometry, used mathematical models to track Jupiter, and developed a method of tracking time that is still used today. It continues, ancient Babylonian records are still used by modern-day astronomers to study how Earth rotation has changed. Babylonian Empire established an education and training system for those who serve in the king's council. And we know that Daniel was one of them. Daniel was one of the exiles whom King Nebuchadnezzar took to Babylon. Daniel was chosen to go into the king's service. Daniel, Book of Daniel, chapter 1 says that the king's court taught and trained candidate like Daniel for 3 years. I mean, think about it. Around like a 583, somewhere around there, 580 BC, they had this school to train those who would serve in the king's council for 3 years. It's like almost like a college even today. And I would say even better, much, much better. By this, we can assume that all those who serve in the king's council receive the highest and the most advanced education of the day. So who served in the king's council? Book of Daniel chapter 2 records that King Nebuchadnezzar had a very troubling dream and summoned magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to interpret his dream. The ones who represented those top advisors appear to be astrologers. Remember, the astronomy was very advanced in the Mesopotamia civilization. The astrologers said to the king that no one could interpret his dream unless the king revealed what his dream was. The king became enraged and ordered killing all the wise men of Babylon. The chapter 2 said the wise men, which means the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, astrologers, Daniel and his three other friends, they were regarded as wise men. Wise men was the term that was used for the council that served the king. And wise men were a group of experts in various fields. Were those three wise men who brought presents to Jesus still the chief government officials? The wise men during Daniel's time and Jesus' time were apart by about 5 centuries. The kings and empires that Daniel had served can answer this question. Daniel lived through the Babylonian, Medo-Persian, and Persian empires during 70 years of Jewish exile. He lived very long, I mean, you know, in that day. They say Daniel lived to up to like 85. He served 4 different kings under 3 different empires. As the head of king's council, you know the reason? Because those empires in the Mesopotamia area kept the same or similar governing system. This governing tradition might have continued, in my opinions, among countries and empires in the Mesopotamia area until long after Daniel's time. You can look it up, and then the historians categorize differently. The Persian Empire ceased to exist around like 334 when the Alexander the Great invaded Persia, but Persian Empire continued to exist in the same Mesopotamian area under different names. Which means that the same similar governing system would have continued, and then even then during Jesus' time, the wise men who serve in king's council were still practicing what they used to during even Daniel's time. Where were the wise men from? Where was the east that the gospel indicate? The wise men from the east. During the time of Jesus' birth, Israel belonged to the Roman Empire. Roman Empire basically integrated most of the countries around the Mediterranean Sea. The Mesopotamian area, directly east of the Roman Empire, belonged to Parthians, a new name for Asian Persia. The Mesopotamia region was known as Persia in general, continued to be known as Persia in general. Even Iranians today identify themselves as Persians. So look at what the gospel says, the wise men from the east. It may sound like an abstract description of mysterious figures from an unknown place in the east who came to worship the infant Messiah. But these historical background show the country of their origin, their identity, and their scholarly trait. They were like Daniel, highly educated, extremely intelligent, and experienced, esteemed government officials from Persia, adjacent to the eastern border of the Roman Empire. They knew, the wise men knew, how to interpret signs and dreams. They were trained to do those things. And in our translation, we see the word, the magi, right? The Greek word magoi for wise men refers to an elite ruling class of Persia, which agrees with this the above description. And also, I can tell that the people during the time of Jesus would have been familiar with those wise men from Persia. In conclusion, the wise men from Persia were the wisest and smartest people of the day. But these wisest people made a huge blunder, which caused a massacre of all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under. What mistake did they make? As they approached Jerusalem, they stopped following the heavenly navigation and began to rely on their judgment. For many months, possibly, they rely on the big bright star ahead of them. But as they came closer to Jerusalem, they no longer felt any need to follow the star. To them, a newborn king should be in the palace. After all, they were the wisest people on the face of the earth. They practiced their superior wisdom all their life and were successful in making the best choices. Nearing the main city where the king of Israel resided, it seemed to them apparent that the newborn king would be found in Jerusalem. Are we familiar with this picture? We all become confident in the path we choose. We do not feel any need to pray and ask God for direction, because, like those Magi thought, we know it all. Herbert Jackson was a new missionary and was assigned a car that would not start without a push. After pondering his problem, he devised a plan. He went to the school near his home, got permission to take some children out of class, and had them push his car off. As he made his round, he would either park on a hill or leave his car running. He no longer needed children to start his car, and used this ingenious procedure for 2 years. Ill health forced the Jackson family to leave, and a new missionary came to that station. When Jackson proudly began to explain his arrangement for getting the car started, the new man began looking under the hood. Before the explanation was complete, the new missionary interrupted. "Why, Dr. Jackson? I believe the only trouble is this loose cable." He gave the cable a twist, stepped into the car, pushed the switch, and to Jackson's astonishment, the engine roared to life. For 2 years, needless trouble had become routine. The power was there all the time. Only a loose connection kept Jackson from putting the power to work. We think we are smart and wise and design our path so that everything may fall into place. considering all facts, using our intellectual capability, our Jerusalem offers comfort, convenience, enjoyment, and success, and has everything we want. While our Bethlehem requires sacrifice, humiliation, and labor. We want to go to Jerusalem, not Bethlehem. However, our knowledge is imperfect. Our decision-making has potential for failure. The opposite of what we intend happens sometimes. The mistake the Magi, the wise men made, teaches us a fallacy of self-reliance. We may regard ourselves as the wisest and may not agree with God's way of operation, but God's way is higher than our ways and our thoughts. Relying upon God, His wisdom, His guidance, and His decision is the wisest thing to do. God's way may take longer and cost us more, but God makes the best choice on all occasions in the end. The best of all is God's guidance always draws us closer to Christ. Amen.
It is now time for the presentation of our tithes and offerings. So you can put those in the plate as you leave the church or bring them to the office. We'll now have special music by Young and Colleen.
This song subtitle is Bringing Our All. In His presence, our whole body and soul will bring to Christ. Deep is His truth, holy.
Hallelujah, praise God. the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power of lives. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord Jesus Christ, you have come into our lives and made our life so beautiful. So we acknowledge that you are the God of Emmanuel, that you are with us. As we give you this offering of thanksgiving, we thank you for your everlasting presence in our lives. We ask you, O Lord, to receive this humble recognition of your presence in our lives, that this offering may be used to let people in the world know that you are with us. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our closing hymn is number 254, We Three Kings.
Crown him again, King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. Oh, star of wonder, star of light, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading still proceed. Guide us to thy perfect light. Frankincense to offer have I, incense on the deity nigh. Prayer and praising, voices rising, worshiping God on high. Oh, star of wonder, star of light, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light.
Before we leave this place of worship, we recognize your constant guide us once more in our lives. You are our eternal companions, always pointing us to the right direction, to the perfect light. May we know your wisdom, yield to you, follow you humbly, that we may arrive in your safe haven in the end. Send us forth now in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
in peace. Never be afraid. God will go with you each hour, every day. Oh, now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Oh, he will guide you in all you do. Go now in love and show you believe. Reach out to others so all the world can see. God will be there, not from above. Oh, now in peace, in faith.